You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in today's lecture, we will discuss Isaiah chapter 36. And what we want to focus on is the collision of kingdoms. That is, God's kingdom coming through the preaching of his promises versus the devil's kingdoms, dominions of darkness, all the earthly kingdoms that are trying to prevent God's kingdom from coming, that are trying to pervert the word of God and bring faith to nothing, to annihilate any kind of belief in the promises of God, leaving individuals in doubt and despair. So let's go ahead and get started. We've got a lot to talk about. So we want to focus in on verse 1. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah, and he took them. So this is how the chapter opens up, giving to us the background that Hezekiah is king, and it's the Assyrians that are on the move. They're marching on the capital city of Jerusalem, and it is at this point that they've taken these fortified cities of Judah. So here we have the faith of Hezekiah being challenged by the armies of the Assyrians. The faith of Hezekiah is given to us as an example of trusting in the promises of God in the midst of the days of trouble. And so Luther will say that here we have God's strength being made perfect in weakness. Now, of course, this is contrary to human reason. The experience tells us that the Assyrians are on the move. They're coming over the horizon. The Jerusalem, the city, is going to be laid to waste, and there is no hope because the earthly experience says that the Assyrians will win the battle. But lo and behold, God promises Hezekiah that this will not happen. This is a direct assault on the faith of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, who is clinging to the promise of God's word. Here's where the kingdoms collide. God's heavenly kingdom against this dominion of darkness in which Satan attacks. Now, we know that Hezekiah is a reformer. He is one who is putting things back together in which they should have been, but they had fallen apart under his father, King Ahaz. Now, we know about the record of Hezekiah from such books as 2 Chronicles, and when you look at chapter 29 in 2 Chronicles, we learn that in the first year of Hezekiah's reign, he opened the doors of the house of Yahweh and he repaired them. Hezekiah brought in the priest and the Levites and assembled them in the square on the east and said to them, "Hear me, Levites, now consecrate yourselves and consecrate the house of Yahweh, the God of your fathers, and carry out the filth from the holy place. For our fathers have been unfaithful and have done what is evil in the sight of Yahweh our God. They have forsaken him and have turned away their faces from the habitation of Yahweh and turned their backs. They also shut the doors of the vestibule and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel." Later on in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, we know that Hezekiah sent out a letter to all Israel and Judah, telling them to come up and to celebrate the Passover of Yahweh, including, of course, Ephraim and Manasseh. And then later on in 2 Chronicles chapter 31, we know that when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah and broke in pieces the pillars and cut down the Asherim and broke down the high places and the altars throughout Judah and Benjamin and in Ephraim and Manasseh, so that they destroyed all of these altars, these places of false worship, worshiping the forms of their contemporaries, that reform and liturgical renewal was once again in the land. I mean, this is the record of Hezekiah. So when we look at these passages, we know the good record of the good King Hezekiah, that he is one who desires to hear God's word. He's one that desires that God's word would be proclaimed, taught, preached, confessed in all its purity and clarity throughout the kingdom. But as the chapter opened up, we know that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah, and he took them. So that just as the king of Assyria took Damascus and Samaria, now he's marching on the capital city of Jerusalem. But King Hezekiah is the one that we learn in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 that he set up combat commanders over the people and he gathered them together. He spoke words of courage and strength and comfort, saying, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria and all the horde that is with him, for there are more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is Yahweh our God to help us and to fight our battles." So we know the confession of faith that King Hezekiah has as the Holy Spirit testifies in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. So this is where we have a background, a foundation to understand the framework of what's taking place in these days of Isaiah chapter 36. So let's go back to Isaiah 36. Now in verse 3, we continue on and we read, "And there came out to him Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shibna, the secretary, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder. And the Rabshakeh said to them, 'Say to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, on what do you rest this trust of yours? Do you think that mere words are strategy and power for war? In whom do you now trust that you have rebelled against me? Behold, you are trusting in Egypt that broken reed of a staff, which will pierce the hand of any man who leans on it. Such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him.'" This is where the text stops. Now, we have this conversation, this dialogue going on between the emissary of the king of Assyria, the Rabshakeh. And the Rabshakeh is making the claim that the people of Jerusalem are trusting in Egypt. Now, we know the words of Isaiah going back to chapter 10, that Yahweh had said, "O my people who dwell in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrians when they strike with the rod and lift up their staff against you, as the Egyptians did. For in a very little while my fury will come to an end and my anger will be directed to their destruction." Now we know the prophet had proclaimed that the people of God were not to trust in Egypt, they were to trust in Yahweh. Or later on in Isaiah 31, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, who do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult Yahweh." And of course, in Psalm 20, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of Yahweh our God." And so when the Rabshakeh is coming with these allegations, these accusations, who do you trust in? Well, we know the track record of Hezekiah. We know that he stands firm in the faith and makes the good confession. So here you have the Rabshakeh is not only just a representative of the king of Assyria, but of Satan himself, who wants to extinguish faith that the people of God have. Here is where these two kingdoms collide in a war of words. so that you have the devil trying to snatch away the promises of God that has been placed in the ears and the hearts of the people of Jerusalem. These two kingdoms collide. In a very similar way, Jesus talks about this in the New Testament when he gives that parable of the sower, that you have these different types of hearers. In one type of hearer, the seed is sown, but before it is planted, the birds of the air come and snatch it away. So Jesus, of course, says in the parable of the sower, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. And then, of course, what the devil is trying to do is take this promise of the kingdom, that the people are to trust in Yahweh, the King of Kings, and replace it with a different word, trying to confuse, trying to bring doubt and ultimately despair. So we continue in Isaiah 36 at verse 7. But if you say to me, this of course is the Rabshakeh, that we trust in Yahweh our God, is it not he whose high places and altars Hezekiah has removed, saying to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar? Now here you have the Rabshakeh trying to confuse the people, trying to lead them astray, trying to deceive them. He's trying to say that, now listen here, people, if you are trusting in the promises of Yahweh that your king Hezekiah is trying to teach you, well, take note that your king Hezekiah is the one who changed the worship in Jerusalem. Satan, in his deception, is trying to snatch the word of promise away from the hearts of the believers. Did God really say? That's that question of doubt. And as Luther puts it, here he turns the most godly work of Hezekiah into a criminal act, destroying the false worship as if this has made God angry with the people. I mean, you get what's going on here? The Rabshakeh comes to the city of Jerusalem, to the walls, and basically is claiming, the reason why we're here is because you've made Yahweh mad, and Yahweh is now punishing you with our armies. So this is the mockery of the Rabshakeh, claiming that Hezekiah has made Yahweh upset by removing the contemporary worship. Now we continue on in Isaiah 36 at verse 8. Come now, the Rabshakeh says, make a wager with my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses, if you are able on your part to set riders on them. How then can you repulse a single captain among the least of my master's servants, when you trust in Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Now again, notice what's going on here. This confusion, this diversion, this deception. Are you trusting in Egypt? Are you trusting in Yahweh? Are you listening to the words of Hezekiah? Do you really know what Hezekiah is doing? That Hezekiah removing this form of worship that was fine before, the previous king thought it was acceptable. That is Hezekiah going down to Egypt? All these questions of doubt are being placed into the ears of the people. Now, this wager that the Rabshakeh is proposing before the people of God. I mean, if we go back to the words of Moses, we know the instruction of God in the Torah in Deuteronomy chapter 17 regarding the king and horses. So the God says, one from among your brothers you shall set as king over you. You may not put a foreigner over you who is not your brother. Only he must not acquire many horses for himself or cause the people to return to Egypt in order to acquire many horses. Since Yahweh has said to you, you shall never return that way again. So again, in chapter 17 of Deuteronomy, we know the clear word of God. We know the instruction of the Lord, that you're not to acquire many horses, that you're not to turn to Egypt. But yet the Rabshakeh is trying to use this
this deception playing and kind of molding and shaping and reworking the Word of God and the desires of God. Again, this is a battle of words, either the Word of God or the Word of the devil. Now we pick up again at verse 10 in chapter 36 of Isaiah. The Rabshakeh goes on and says, "Moreover, is it without Yahweh that I have come up against this land to destroy it? Yahweh said to me, 'Go up against this land and destroy it.'" Now see the confusion that he's trying to create amongst the people? Who is speaking the true word of God? Who is the one that is teaching clearly what God says? I mean, this is an interesting claim, that he is making the claim that what he has done is God's will, and it is done by God's approval, that Yahweh himself has brought him to the people. Of course, Luther makes a comment on this, saying that this is how Satan likes to attack the conscience and the confidence of the believer, so that the believer starts to waver and starts to wander and starts to wobble and say, well, what did Yahweh really say? Did he really say that? Is Yahweh behind the king of Assyria? Should I submit to the king of Assyria? Whose word is the right word? Now notice in Isaiah 36, picking up at verse 11, how we have then this response. Then Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah said to the Rabshakeh, "Please speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it. Do not speak to us in the language of Judah within the hearing of the people who are on the wall." But the Rabshakeh said, "Has my master sent me to speak these words to your master and to you, and not to the men sitting on the wall, who are doomed with you to eat their own dung and to drink their own urine?" Now notice what's taking place here, that you have the leaders. You have the leaders who are working in conjunction with the king of Jerusalem. Hezekiah's emissaries here are having this conversation and this dialogue with the Rabshakeh. And they're saying, don't speak in the language of Hebrew. Don't confuse our people with your words that you are battling against us, this war of words here. Because they don't want the people to fall into doubt and despair. And so this is the language of Aramaic. Speak to us in that language. Now, Luther notes here, as he's commenting on this, that the more one debates with Satan, the more he's going to fall into despair. And so as the Rabshakeh is bringing this debate on, he is trying to call into question the promises of God, the word of God, the prophetic writings, the will of God. If we continue on in this debate, Satan will bring us into despair. And so here you have the leaders trying to stop the debate in the language of the people for the sake of their own hearing and their own conscience. Now, if we continue at verse 13. Then the Rabshakeh stood and called out in a loud voice in the language of Judah. And he said, "Hear the words of the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, 'Do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you. Do not let Hezekiah make you trust in Yahweh by saying, Yahweh will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria.' Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, 'Make your peace with me and come out to me. Then each one of you will eat of his own vine, and each one of you of his own fig tree. And each one of you will drink the water of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware lest Hezekiah mislead you by saying, Yahweh will deliver us. Has any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who among all the gods of these lands have delivered their lands out of my hand, that Yahweh should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? Now here again, notice what's taking place. The devil is using his deception. It's the war of the two kingdoms. It's Satan's lies versus God's promises. It's the evil spirit against the Holy Spirit. Now notice how he is tempting God, saying, "Hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king," in opposition to Yahweh, who is the king, who thus says Yahweh. So notice this whole contrast is tempting God. "You shall not put Yahweh your God to the test as you tested him in Massah." The people know this. But yet here the king of Assyria is using the same kind of imagery, that it's out of his hand that no one can deliver them. Well, that's the promise that Yahweh made. Yahweh made this promise back in Deuteronomy 32 that no one can deliver out of Yahweh's hand. So here he is tempting the people to doubt the promises of God, saying, "Do not let Hezekiah make you trust in Yahweh. Do not listen to Hezekiah. Beware lest Hezekiah mislead you." You see, the Rabshakeh is mocking Hezekiah. He is calling him a liar. The Rabshakeh is giving false promises, deceiving them about the harsh conditions of captivity. Now notice what he does is he tries to make a comparison of the land in exile to the land of promise. Now this is the land that Yahweh promised them, but the king of Assyria is promising them a different land, that he'll take them away to a land that is like your land. It is a land of grain and wine and a land of bread and vineyards. I mean, notice the deception of the devil here, trying to mimic the promises of God, putting forth two alternate promises, either the promises that Hezekiah is saying or the promises of the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria is saying, "Look at experience and look who is telling the truth, because the king of Assyria has defeated all of his foes and he will defeat you. Hezekiah will not be able to withstand the blows and the assault of the kingdom of the Assyrians." So notice that this is, again, a collision between the kingdom of God in his word and the dominion of darkness coming from the deception of the devil. But in that trickery, the devil is trying to make it one earthly kingdom against another. And then even adding fuel to the fire, he is claiming divine authority, that Yahweh himself is giving Jerusalem over to the hand of the king of Assyria. And so notice the confusion that the people are going through. Notice that these are two different, contradictory words. It's a war of words. Hezekiah is to trust in the promises of God, and Hezekiah as king is to encourage the people of God to listen to the clear voice of God, not to this confusing, this deceiving, this new voice of the Rabshakeh that is echoing the king of Assyria and the devil himself. And so if we continue back in Isaiah 36 and you pick up at verse 21, we read the response: "They were silent and answered him not a word, for the king's command was, do not answer him." Now, of course, we're talking about Hezekiah. That's Hezekiah's command. "Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shebna, the secretary, and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder. They came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of the Rabshakeh. Now, in this passage, we understand that Hezekiah was not present. So you have Hezekiah sending out his messengers, and you have the king of Assyria sending out his messenger. So the king of Assyria, the king of Jerusalem, are not present. But now Hezekiah is receiving the word of the messenger of the king of Assyria. Therefore, Hezekiah was not present to make any kind of a defense to these accusations, the allegations that Hezekiah is a liar, that Hezekiah is misleading, that Hezekiah has brought God's wrath upon the people because of his removal of false worship, that is idolatry. But in this passage, we have this weapon of silence. They did not respond to the Rabshakeh. These were the words and the command of Hezekiah. Do not answer him. So do not engage Satan in these attacks. Again, as Luther will note, do not debate with the devil. The more one debates with Satan, the more one will fall into despair. This is all part of the trick and the deception of the devil, trying to get us to doubt, trying to get us to ask the wrong questions, and then, of course, leading us to the wrong answer. This is the trickery of the devil, trying to mislead the people of God away from the clear voice of God, and to wonder, did God really say that? Like Luther, the church father Eusebius said that there is nothing more to say when one utters such things against God. He who is discreet does not converse with such a blasphemous person, lest he be provoked and fall into further blasphemies. So now chapter 36 ends on the note that Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah had all came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn. In chapter 37, we'll open up by saying that Hezekiah himself, when he heard it, he too tore his clothes. And then what did Hezekiah do? Well, he covered himself with sackcloth and he went to the house of Yahweh. He went there to pray. He went there to speak and to petition Yahweh, and to hear the clear voice of God in the words of the prophets. And so in chapter 37, that clear voice of God will come through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah will speak and say, thus says Yahweh, in opposition to what thus says the king of Assyria. That Yahweh says, do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard, with which the young men of the king of Assyria have reviled me. Now, what do we learn from this whole chapter 36? Well, we learn that in our own day of trouble, our own attack by the devil trying to prevent us from entering into God's kingdom, trying to steal the word of the kingdom away from us like the bird taking away the seed, we learn to be silent and not to continue to engage the devil in this debate of deceit. We learn to turn to the Lord in prayer and petition and hear his promise. Do not be afraid.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.